There's a relatively new movement in the West here in healthcare that's known as holistic medicine. And if you're not familiar with the term, that's okay. Holistic medicine is a form of healing that considers the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. The philosophy behind this movement is that a person can only achieve optimal health only by gaining proper balance in their life. Holistic medicine practitioners believe that the whole person is made up of interdependent parts, and if one part's not working properly, it can throw everything off. So, imbalances in the physical, mental, or spiritual areas of our lives can negatively affect overall health. And if you think about it, this really makes a lot of sense. You know, we're not just a body, we're not just a mind, we're not just a spirit, right? It's all connected. And so, this is surprisingly intuitive. But just because something is self-evident doesn't mean that it comes naturally. Most of us actually live our lives in boxes, and I brought some boxes along to kind of help us out a bit. This box here, we'll say this is my body, okay? This is Joe right here. And I'm over 30, and you know, it looks like it's in pretty decent shape, but I slept on my shoulder and I pulled it last night. But if I have a problem with my body, where do I go? I go to a doctor, or I just follow the advice of my dad and I just walk it off until it becomes a crippling disability. So that's my body box. The second box that we will pull out from time to time is our mind, right? If we need to think, or if we're talking about mental health, we look at the mind box. Let's take a look at what's in here right now. You know what? Let's just stuff that in there. Let's just repress that, close that box, and put that away. No, I'm just kidding, right? But if we are having difficulty in our mind, if there's brokenness in our mind, we will go and see a counselor. We'll talk to someone. We'll figure it out. And finally, we have a box that often we think about the least often, and that's our spiritual box. And this box likes to stay tightly closed. Except for our, well, today's Sunday morning, and so I'm gonna leave this one open. But you get the idea. We compartmentalize our lives into these three different parts. But believe it or not, the Christian faith is far more holistic than that. We recognize that all three parts of what it means to be human, right? We need all three. We're mind, body, and spirit. All of these are spiritual. When I come to God, I don't just give him my spiritual box, I give him my mind box as well. And also, I give him my body. I give him all of me. And so what happens is when we come to Christ, this is, you know, this is Joe. I don't just say, hey, here's the Joe box. I say, hey, here's my body and my mind. Oh, hang on here. And my spirit. Right? All of these are yours. And so, as a church, when we say that we value spiritual wholeness, we're not speaking of just one component of our life. It's much more holistic than that. Spiritual wholeness speaks to how we approach our faith. We give God all of us, and in turn, He makes us completely whole, a brand new person. And this is absolutely incredible news. This is the gospel. This is the truth that I get to preach every Sunday. But there is an underlying presupposition to this that you have to be able to come to terms with. In order to be made whole, you have to recognize that you first have to be broken. And human brokenness is an uncomfortable idea for many people. But it really is self-evident to anyone who can just stop distracting themselves for 5 minutes. Something is not as it should be. And far worse, we are not as we should be. For all of our secularism, why can't we escape the feeling that we're more than skin and bones? We long for relationships, but find that relationships are so fragile and easily fractured. We desire peace, but are surrounded by pain, suffering, and injustice. Our longing for beauty seems to constantly elude us. We can touch it in moments, and then it's gone just as quickly as it came. The very idea that so many people are searching for wholeness or wellness is an indicator that deep down, we know that things are not as they should be. If we didn't, we would not have a desire to seek wholeness or wellness. And this is exactly where Christianity comes in. Biblical scholar N.T. Wright writes this. He says, "The story of Christianity claims to be the true story about God and the world. As such, it offers itself as the explanation for the voice whose echo we hear in the search for justice, the quest for spirituality, the longing for relationship, and the yearning for beauty." Friends, if you have your life all together, this sermon is not for you. But if you recognize your need for salvation, you're in the right place. As a late Pentecostal scholar, Roger Stronstad, used to tell me, the kingdom of heaven is for those who recognize their true condition. So let's take a look. What does it mean to be made spiritually whole? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the early church leader, the Apostle Paul, reminds us that in Christ we've been made whole. Now, normally I would read out of the New Living Translation. That's what I normally read out of. But this morning I wanted to use the New International Version, the NIV, because I just like to keep you on your toes. No, just kidding. The real reason is that the NIV gives a better picture of what Paul's really saying here. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now there's a lot in that passage. And as a church, if we truly value spiritual wholeness, we need to be able to answer the question, what is Paul talking about here? What is spiritual wholeness? What does it mean to be made whole in Christ? Well, Paul gives us a threefold answer. First, to be whole in Christ means that our identity is found in him. This term in Christ is a favorite of Paul's, and he uses it three times in this short passage. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And in him," that's Christ, "we might become the righteousness of God." So what does it mean to be in Christ? It's sort of an abstract statement. Well, just let me grab my box again here. Right? For the sake of illustration, remember, this is me. This encompasses my mind, my body, my spirit. And my problem is that I'm flawed and broken, okay? As much as I try to hold it all together, I fall short of who I want to be. And most importantly, of who God has called me to be. I'm beyond repair. I need someone to step in and save me. And this is where Jesus comes in. This is this box here, that's a little bit bigger here. This is the Christ box. Being fully God and fully man, Jesus was the only person to be without sin. And through Jesus' death on the cross, he took on our brokenness, our sins, our faults, our failures, took them upon himself. He comes to us and he says, "Look, I will trade you my wholeness for your brokenness." And so what that means is that in Christ, we take on his perfection. So that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sins or your brokenness or your faults or your failures. He doesn't see any of that. What he sees is a person made perfect in Christ. He sees his child. Now, obviously, you know, this box analogy breaks down and it has its limitations. Our sin and shame isn't just hidden from view in Christ. We don't lose our personalities in Christ, right? Our sins are completely removed. We're made completely brand new, and we still carry on the image of God in our own unique way. But it really illustrates really well that idea of being in Christ. The old is completely gone and that the new has come. And so then being spiritually whole has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with my position in Christ. No amount of yoga or mindfulness or vitamins are going to make me a spiritually whole person. This is only made possible in Christ. The moment we believe, God makes us completely whole. We're no longer defined by our mistakes, our struggles, or even our greatest achievements. We find our identity in being a child of God. So spiritual wholeness is not just a foundational identity, it's also an unconditional acceptance. And this is the second point. We are accepted through Christ. Let's read verses 18 and the first half of verse 19 again. It says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. I'm so glad that God doesn't count my sins against me. But I want to focus in a second on that word reconciliation. That's a really heavy word, isn't it? That's a word that's taken on a lot of meaning recently. In our country, there is a need for reconciliation with our indigenous brothers and sisters. There are unspeakable horrors that have happened that must be made right. And the wounds are far too deep just to slap a band-aid on it and say, "I'm sorry." Reconciliation is all about making it right so the relationship can move forward. Just like we have come to terms with our brokenness to be made whole, we also need to come to terms with our sin, the sin in our hearts. And we need to recognize this if we want to experience reconciliation. While sin fractures our relationships with others and all those around us, it ultimately separates our relationship with God. And so when Paul talks about the ministry of reconciliation, yeah, you could apply it to people around you, of course. But primarily what he has in his mind is reconciliation between us and God. We all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. We all have a desire for him that maybe that nothing in this world will satisfy. But here's the question. How do you reconcile with God? How can you possibly make enough reparations or sacrifices or I'm sorries to mend a broken relationship with the Creator of the universe? You can't. We are literally lost in our sins. A dark, clouded chasm of hopelessness and emptiness stood between us and God. But here's the good news. God saw that vast chasm between him and us, and he crossed it. He saw the irreparable damage, and he repaired it. He came to us when we should have gone to him. He sent his son from the comforts of heaven to take on flesh, born into an obscure peasant family, to walk among us, to be with us. He sent his son to die in our place. When we were enemies of God, lost in our sins, Christ bridged the gap between heaven and earth, arms stretched wide. He made a way for us to have a relationship with him. So we have been reconciled to God. Nothing and no one can separate us from Christ's love. Because nothing can stop the relentless love of Christ our Savior. And so being spiritually whole means not only that your identity is found in Christ, but also that you've been accepted by God. And finally, that you are given a purpose in Christ. You're given a purpose by Christ. You know, I don't know about you, but when life gets stressful and a little overwhelming, I dream of being transported somewhere with white sandy beaches and warm weather and palm trees. And some people work their entire lives for this dream or one that's similar. You know, we're going to work all year so we can go to Mexico or go to Hawaii every year. They live for their annual vacation. They are, you know, one of those things. But here's the thing. You can only sit on a beach drinking Mai Tais for so long. Eventually, it loses its appeal. Why is that? Because we were created for a purpose. Our hearts can only find true peace and contentment when we're fulfilling our God-given potential. One of the sad things that I see with so many young men in the world today is that they're growing up aimless and without a sense of purpose. But we were created for significance. In the words of Mark Batterson, stop living as the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Your purpose needs to be bigger than you. And while each of us has a different purpose, each of us is unique, something that only we can contribute to the world. All of us who believe in Christ, who put our faith in Him, who've been reconciled to God, we are, from the 10,000 foot view, we are given the purpose of reconciling others to Christ. Of bringing this message of reconciliation, right? We can't do it ourselves. We can't just say, hey, you know, you're reconciled. No, we bring the message. We bring the truth, the gospel of what Jesus has done to those around us. Let's read verses 19 and 20 again. It says, God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. You know, we've been accepted by Christ, and now we've been given the privilege and a purpose of inviting others into that relationship. You know, the word ambassador is kind of a big word to wrap your mind around. I think probably the best way I can describe it is that my wife and I were in Ottawa together, and we wanted to check out the House of Commons, and so we're there on the grounds, and for some reason the door was locked and we couldn't get in, and so it was closed for the day, and so we began looking around, and I can see that there's snipers and tactical gear up on the roof, and there's barriers and police cars, and you know, what's going on? And then I see a motorcade come by with Israeli flags. It like was straight out of a movie. And later we found out that the ambassador of Israel was visiting Canada. And he came with the power and the authority to speak on the Prime Minister's behalf. And in the same way, we have the power and the authority and the responsibility to bring the message of the good news of Jesus to the world. The same God who gave it all continues to give His grace through the church. So being spiritually whole means that you have a foundational identity in Christ, that you've been unconditionally accepted into the family of God, and that your life has been given a purpose by Christ. These three things, identity, acceptance, and purpose, are foundational to what it means to be a human being. And in Christ, we find all three. So how do we live this out? I mean, this is great news, but it's about more than just us, isn't it? Valuing spiritual wholeness shapes the way that we do church. It transforms the way that we live our lives. I want to leave you with three practical steps on how to live out this value. Number one, celebrate the supernatural. You know what? We serve a God who heals bodies, who heals relationships, who heals minds, who heals souls. Friends, we need to recognize that we serve a God who is in the business of making all things new. That through Jesus' work on the cross, we've been made whole in mind, body, and spirit. We can experience wholeness in relationships. We can be cured of addiction. Physical sickness and brokenness can be healed. Our mental health can be restored. Anywhere where we experience brokenness, Jesus has made a way for us to be made whole. And this means that as a church, we will continue to seek and to celebrate the supernatural healing work of God. It means that we pray for healing, that we ask for more of the Holy Spirit, that we believe for and celebrate when it happens, brokenness in any and all forms being made whole again. So celebrate the supernatural. Secondly, comfort the broken. Sometimes things don't work out the way that you want to. When I was a kid, I had a very close relationship with my grandfather, who was a pastor. And he battled with cancer for years, and it brought up a lot of those big questions. Why did someone who served God his whole life, why does he have to face this? Why is this the way he has to die? And all of the time he was battling through that, our church really believed in God's power to heal. But they taught that as long as we had enough faith, that God would heal him. And so when my grandfather died, there were no answers. The only answer was that we didn't have enough faith. Here's the point. I still believe that God can and does heal. I still believe that God is greater than cancer. I still believe that He responds to innocent, honest faith. But I also recognize that on this side of heaven, there will always be brokenness. And sometimes the best way that the church can be like Christ in these moments is to be broken with the broken. Just as Christ was broken so we could be made whole, the church is called to take on the brokenness of others. To embrace this tension that we serve of God of the miraculous, and that sometimes we don't get the answer that we hoped or believed for. And the question, why does God heal some people and not others, is a real question. It demands answers. And we can't just ignore it. We can't deny it and just say, well, we're all whole. The sickness doesn't exist. We can't say that. And we can't ignore people's pain. Right? How do we explain the brokenness if we've been made whole? The Bible uses kind of this imagery of here but not yet. We're simultaneously made perfect and whole in Christ, but we're also still in the process of becoming whole. The new creation is here, but not yet. You know, earlier we talked about this idea of brokenness and how there's this deep yearning in our hearts for wholeness. Paul explains this a little bit more in Romans 8, 18 to 21. He says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal it to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay." God has already won. Christ has already made us whole. But we will not experience complete wholeness until God makes all things new. That's why the subline in our value is we value walking with people on a journey to complete wholeness in Christ. Until we've been resurrected just as our Savior was, spiritual wholeness is both our present reality and our hopeful expectation. So friends, I want to remind you to celebrate the supernatural, to comfort the broken, and finally, come as you are. It doesn't matter what your past, doesn't matter what your present. There's no one who is too far gone that they cannot be redeemed. So lost that they cannot be found. So broken that they cannot be healed. the kingdom of heaven is for those who recognize their true condition. Come just as you are to be made whole. I want to pray with you that if you have brokenness in your life and you need Christ to make you whole, maybe you're far from God and you don't have a relationship with Him, and you want to accept Christ, you want to see the new creation begin, your old life gone, becoming a new person. If you want to experience that, I'm going to pray with you. And you can put your faith in Jesus and begin that new journey today. Maybe you need healing in another area of your life, physical, spiritual, mental, physical, whatever it is. And I'm just going to pray for you. So if you're willing, just wherever you are, just put out your hands in a posture of openness. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as we are, not as we should be. And we ask that you would make us whole. Father, we know that we've sinned, that we've fallen short of your glory, that we've gone our own way, and we've really messed things up. We ask that you would forgive us our sins. We want to serve and follow you. Come, make us whole. Bring your healing touch today for every heart, every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you made a commitment to follow Jesus for the very first time, I would love to hear from you. Go to our website, fill out an InTouch card, and I'll get in touch with you sometime this week. God bless.